Welcome to False Bottom Girls, a podcast about the wonderful yet sometimes confusing world of beer and brewing.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hudson, owner of Pilot Brewing and an advanced cicerone.
Hi, I'm Jen Blair, sensory expert, homebrewer, and advanced cicerone. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of False Bottom Girls. The preface has lasted almost a good half hour before we actually started recording, as we are wont to do.
But we won't subject you to that.
Right.
We have our limits.
Yes. There really wasn't anything that good in there except a good acronym that Rachel learned that she can use for people.
I already forgot.
See you next Tuesday.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We learn something new every day. And today that's what Rachel learned.
Yes. I will use that with great responsibility.
Okay, good. I use it with reckless abandon. But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
Definitely not.
We, as you know, if you've listened to our most recent episode, recently went on our annual very cold vacation to Europe.
And I don't know why we keep picking these cold places.
Right. But listen, it's so cheap. And this also, everything is slow in January. So that's when we can get away and enjoy ourselves and not have to worry about necessarily what's going on at home. So this year, we decided to go to the Czech Republic, specifically Pilsen. So like you, if you've listened to the previous episode, you can listen all about how our Luger training went. But we also had visits in Prague and just a little bit of time in Munich.
My favorite.
And so that's what we're going to tell you about today is a little bit about what that beer culture was like in Prague and in Pilsen and just some of the things that we learned. And it's so interesting because, again, like someplace like the Czech Republic has the highest per capita consumption of beer in the world. It is a beer culture.
Yeah.
And it's so strange.
You wouldn't think.
To go from the United States where like there are a couple of different kind of beer cultures, but it's not a part of like the fabric of our everyday lives, the way that it is in places like the Czech Republic and Germany and Belgium and England. So it was really cool to be there. And there were a lot of differences, you know, even in like the service, which we talked about in our Luger episode, that just kind of being immersed in a different beer culture was just super cool.
Yeah, and Prague is way more touristy than Pilsen is. It's also bigger than Pilsen. Right. Pilsen was surprisingly small.
Yeah, Pilsen's kind of like, I don't know, like if you're...
It's almost like a town, like not like
it's
a city.
It's not big at all.
Yeah, it's nice. Definitely go. It's got its quirks. But Prague is definitely more touristy. We also went to Prague out of like our circumstance of like travel. So otherwise we probably just would have gone to Pilsen. Who knows? I don't really know. But like we flew, and this is a tip. I want to bring it up because it's a really good tip. We flew into Munich because we fly American Airlines. Like that's just what Jen and I do because it's my husband's job. But you can fly to Prague. So don't think that you have to. But we flew to Munich and then we took another flight to Prague. But we had like a 5-hour layover in the airport in the morning time after we landed. So I recommend getting a nap cab during that time.
It was amazing.
It was such a difference. Like I have done the trip before because when you leave the US, you're landing about 7:30 their time in Europe. And it's about like 1:30, 12:30 your time according to your body. So you're tired.
AM.
Yeah, AM. And so all you want to do is sleep. And I've done that thing where you've got off the plane, got your shit, get on the train, go take it to another train to take a 4-hour train ride to, what was it, Vienna. And this was way better. Highly recommend it. Like all you had to do is grab your stuff, go back through security to get to like the domestic terminal. So you're already through security once you get there, which is nice because then you go to your plane right after. And it was great. It was like this oversized closet that has enough room for like a table and a bed and has all these controls for your sounds and your lights and your temperature. And there's a bathroom right there next to it. Oh God, I don't really remember, but I want to say it was like 20 euro an hour, maybe a little less. And we got it for 2 hours, and it was perfect. And unfortunately, my husband had booked his for the wrong time of day, so his was booked at 9:15 at night. So he lost out because there's only room for one person. Like literally, there's only plus they. That's like one of their rules. Is you're only allowed to have one person. But yeah, highly recommend that. Jumped on a plane to Prague. Then we were there. We were rested. We were good to go because our norm is to get to a hotel room really early and take a nap. But this was like we had done that. So I just want to bring that up because it's unless you travel a lot, you don't really figure these things out until a couple times.
And that's another thing, Rachel, that I learned from you, like when we first went to Munich, was you rented the hotel room for the night, like before we got there.
Yeah,
So when we landed,
super crucial.
yeah, like landed in Munich at like, again, like 6, 7 a.m.
Exactly.
We could check into the
Yeah.
hotel at like 8 a.m. And when we did that in Munich, we were like, okay, we'll set an alarm. We're going to sleep for 4 hours. And
Yeah.
then, we wake up at noon, we're ready for lunch. And like, you're not completely refreshed because you're still jet lagged, but
Yeah,
you can
that's
power
better.
through the day and you do feel more refreshed. And the nap cabs were awesome for that. And it was also just great to get out of the airplane. And like, yeah, you're still in the airport,
Yeah,
but
but you're
you're
in your
in
own
this little room by
space. You can
yourself.
take off all your clothes and change. You can, I did
Right.
all my
Yeah.
clothes. It was the first thing I did. All 100% butt naked. Get all these clothes off of me right now.
Right. Yeah. And, but yeah, it was great. So when it was time for our flight, we were
Yeah.
like, okay, like
We're
we've been
ready to
able to
go.
sleep for a little bit. And then getting to Prague, like we really had just like a day and a half in
Yeah.
Prague. So it
Yeah.
was, very much like, okay, what are the highlights of things we want to do? But the thing is with a lot of these places, and it's the same like in the United States, if you go to New York City and like stay near Times Square, you've got a bunch of stuff just right around you. So you're not
Yeah.
having to like travel a long
Yeah.
distance or anything. So we had this awesome Airbnb that was like a palace.
Yeah, so weird. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like someone's old art gallery, because it was clearly had paintings up from the same artist
Right.
throughout, and like the house was even called the artist's name, I think.
Right.
But
Yeah.
I
And
don't
but
know
it
how
was
else to
wild too
describe it.
because it was on like this little alleyway. So it was in Old Town in Prague. So there was like a certain point we got to where our Uber drivers were like, "Hey, we need to drop you off here because we're not supposed to drive down these alleys." So they're pedestrian alleyways. And yeah, like the door is like completely nondescript. It's got like graffiti on it and stuff. And then all of a sudden you're in this apartment with like 20-foot ceilings. And it was right across from an absinthe bar. There were a lot of absinthe bars in Prague, but apparently the one that was next to us is the biggest absinthe bar in the world.
Yeah,
And we
that's
went
true.
there and had a couple different like mixed drinks. And then we did a flight of absinthe. So that was
The
cool.
flight was rough. I
The
should
flight
say,
was,
as a person who's
yes.
like, eh, I don't think I need that. It was good to try the drinks. The mixed drinks were really good. Just has a little bit of absinthe. But man,
Right.
that flight. There are like botanical absinthes, and then there are absinthes that taste like solvent, hot, diesel alcohol going down your throat.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But yeah, when we were in Prague, the first thing we did was went to this great brewery that has this amazing tamave. And
Why you're
it's like
looking.
so many of the bars and places over there where it's just so cozy. And part of that is it's very, very cold outside. So when you get inside, like it's immediately warm. But yeah, so that was, tamave was our first drink. We went to a different what was advertised as like a microbrewery second. That
It
was
was
awful.
so bad. And
My beer
I
was not as bad as
should
Rachel
try
and
the name.
Jeff's
They were
beer.
just all, I mean, first of all, like every beer has diacetyl, and that's fine. But like this was just, I don't even know, metallic, super acidic. It was just like
Yeah.
dirty draft line, dirty draft line, dirty draft. And like we should have known because it had a low score on Google. So basically, like the first bar was called Utri Ruzi. And this is my favorite. The first time we went to Prague, we went to this place twice. And while I was there as Jen, we went to this place twice. We brought bottles of beer home from this place. This is the best tamale in Prague. And my opinion, out of maybe the try five places I've tried, this is the best tamale
Fair.
in
I
Prague.
would put it second after Ooflekú,
See, I
which
like
was
it better than
where
Ooflek.
we went for dinner. So, or we went there for drinks. So Ooflekú is famous. It is where tamave really became a commercial style and is the only beer that they brew. We went through a guidebook by beer writer Evan Rail that specifically said, when you're at Ooflekú, there are shots, there are people coming around with shots, and they're very pushy about it, but the shots are not free.
They were so
And
pushy.
yeah, and I'm so happy that we knew that going in, because they do kind of like, oh, hey, have a shot, like just give you a
It's
tray. Yeah.
a party.
And and it does definitely seem like we were, at a restaurant, and they like brought us shots of schnapps, but those were
Multiple
free.
times.
Yeah, those were
Like,
complimentary. These are not complimentary, but they were presented as if they would be. So luckily we knew that. And yeah, and we were like, no, no, thank you. And they were really pushy
Like
with
multiple
the
times we had to
shots.
be like, no, we're good.
Yeah, like we've already said
And then
no,
eventually I
thank
was like,
you.
not
Yeah, but then in like for our full day in Prague, we did like the Charles Bridge. We went to
started out in
see
the
the
morning, which
Yes.
we learned that is a very good idea. We watched other people's videos, and we do recommend going as early as you can because even in the off cold time, it's still very touristy. It's still very packed there. And
Right.
it's nice to not be so crowded.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can walk around and yeah, like move around. And we had seen, like Rachel said, we'd seen videos where it's like shoulder to shoulder people walking across this bridge. So this it was very sparse when we were there. And we did our beer spa in the afternoon.
That was very awesome.
That was so much fun. And so no, we weren't actually in 100% beer, because I had posted about it on my Instagram stories, and I had a lot of people be like, wait, are you in beer? And it was more like ingredient infused water, would you say? Like, I think there may have been a little bit of wort in there, but it was
Maybe.
mostly like hop powder was in there, and
I
I think they
honestly
said
don't
something
even
about the
really know. Yeast,
yeast.
some sort of yeast powder, some sort of hot powder, which were like set in. I mean, I'm not saying they weren't already in there, but there was like extra set in wooden spoons, like off to the side, which is fun to
Right.
play with. But there's no way of telling how much or what was really in there. It did not smell like a frat house. You know what I mean? It didn't. You didn't go in
Yes.
there. It didn't smell like beer.
Right. It did smell like hops.
It did smell
Like
like
it
hops,
smelled like it's it did smell kind of like wort, but I think that was mostly just the hops that were in there.
It was definitely like 99% water, I'm sure,
Right. And
whatever was
we
going on, but it's fine.
Right. It was still fun. And like we're in like these big wooden tubs, and we had the option to have
solo.
bubbles or not. Yes, solo. And we each had a tap next to our tub with pale lager and dark lager that we could just refill as much as we wanted. There were weird beds of wheat that Rachel and I did not get into. So wheat, WHEAT, not weed. But like it
It
was just like dry straw.
was so weird. It was dry straw. So you like on the website, you're like, oh, okay. All
Look
these
at these
people lit.
very sexy people laying on the wheat.
But like you get in there and it's just like
It's like a
a
manger.
it's like, yeah, that's a perfect way to describe it. I was like, imagine the hard floor with straw on top and like a little fence around it that's supposed to be the bed, I guess. It was like that. It like so my husband came with us, and it's very strict. You get like an hour timer, and he's like, well, I'm a full experience kind of guy. So he gets out and he puts down this towel on this wheat, and he lays down like you would see on the website picture. And you're just like, he's like, yeah, this is straw. It's not comfortable.
Yeah, but it was great though, because like we had a little stove in there. So again, we had been outside for a lot of the day, and it was like
We were
20
so
degrees when we
warm.
were there. And so then you just go get in this little warmy warm spa, and we all have the bubbles going. We're just drinking beer and stuff, and It was amazing. I highly
Yeah.
recommend doing something like that, which, like, anytime you can just be in like warm, bubbly water. Like,
Yeah.
that's, as humans, we like that.
It was nice.
And it was funny though, because like when I went to change out of my swimsuit, so we also had swimsuits on, we were in a room by ourselves. So
Yeah.
you get like your own room.
Yeah, it's
So
not
it
like a
is it, like,
communal area or anything like
right.
that.
So like if you wanted to be naked, you could. We were bathing suit family for
Yeah.
obvious reasons. But like even when I took off my suit, it was like I felt like a trub pile because I was rinsing out my suit and there's like hop residue
Yeah.
in like, like in like the
Yeah.
ruching and stuff.
It's like
And
when you come out of the ocean, you have that little bit of sand in your
yes,
bathing
yeah,
suit, but it just is
exactly.
hops.
Yeah. And for me, it was like when I brew, I have like a homemade hop spider kind of thing. So it was basically the same thing, trying to clean out,
Yeah.
where like you think you get it all. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, here's more.
Earlier that day, we went to two museums that were in the Old Town area. Went to a sex museum and a torture museum that were pretty close to each other, and they're fun. They don't take up a ton of time. They're pretty cheap, and they're kind of, I mean, they are, especially that sex museum. There are some interesting things, especially some of the things in there that were like
Sex machines
sex machines, I should
museum.
say. Yeah, true. Very big clarification.
Yeah.
But there was like one machine that was like invented in like 88 or 1988 or something, and I was like, this looks like it was invented in the 20s. Like what the fuck? It was like a big block with like a dildo on it. It was just like all I can imagine is just like this person just like slamming their body against this block. Like what the fuck? So that was kind of
Yeah,
cool.
it was definitely interesting, but also a good reminder because this was something I've had these conversations before where especially when like you have the toxic nostalgia people, the Make America Great Again people, where it's like, oh, well, back in the day, like nobody made out or had sex. You got married if you wanted to have sex. And it's like, no, that's not the case. Like humans have always been humans.
Yeah.
And now there's just a lot more visibility. So it was interesting seeing like these kinds of machines that people were inventing, just for
Yeah.
sexual gratification. And like it goes all the way back to,
And they
there's
are
like a
extreme.
crank
Yeah.
wheel
They're
like kind of thing.
extreme. They're involved. They are very well thought out. And some of them are just like, whatever, here's a dildo. But some of them are
Right.
like, here is this bicycle that we have reconstructed that you will sit on, and this other person will sit on it like this. And if you want to incorporate a third person, you can to the back. It was
Right.
pretty
Yeah.
impressive.
Yeah. It was basically just like phallic objects nailed to a bunch of stuff in different directions was overwhelmingly what the Sex Machines Museum was. And then I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but your girl fucking loves torture.
Yeah,
I that is one of my
she's
niche
excited for
interests.
that.
Yeah. So I was so excited to go to the torture museum. It was a little bit of a letdown. It was
It
kind of like half wax museum, half actual torture instruments. But
yeah.
like, I did get to see an Iron Maiden. I was so excited about being able to go to the torture museum. And I always kind of low key feel like torture museums may be a trap. Like, I might become one of the exhibits if I go
You
into a
never
torture
know.
museum. Very like human centipede kind of
Yeah.
plot line is what I'm always expecting when I go into a torture museum. But new thing that you might have learned about me is that I fucking love torture, history of torture, torture devices. I don't like torturing people and
Yeah, I was just gonna say you
I
should
don't
clarify.
like being tortured.
Poor
But
Tom.
it is a
Oh,
fascinating aspect of
it
human
is.
behavior for
It
me.
is. It is very odd,
Yeah.
especially how well accepted it was at what point in time.
Right. Well, and it's very much like the Sex Machines Museum. It's like a lot
Yeah.
of the torture devices are thought out to how can we slowly inflict as much pain as possible. And I just find that fascinating. So this is not going to be a Sex Machines and Torture Museum
Well,
podcast from now on, but that is what we did.
Prague is known as the city of museums. They have like 400 something ridiculous museums and
Yes.
lots of small ones. Like they're all super tiny, but you can find they had a museum about bricks. They had like three or four beer museums. They had a museum about like literally musical instruments. Like I don't know. I'm just scratching the surface because that's just what I saw while we were walking
Right.
around. Prague is very touristy still, so I do recommend that. Has been a, something I've noticed in Munich too. Like reservations are key, not quite like America where you could kind of just get in. Sometimes
Yes.
you literally cannot get in without a
That's an
reservation.
excellent
But
point.
if you
Yeah.
want to go somewhere.
Right. When we were in Munich, especially, we would like a couple of the places we went to, they would have like this table is reserved at 1:30 p.m. And so we're
Yeah.
there at 12:30 and we're like, hey, we promise we'll be gone. Can we sit
Yeah,
here? And
that's
they're
very
like,
popular to do
yes,
as well.
but you have to leave as soon as the other party shows up. But what was cool about when we were in Munich and we were at Schneiderweiss, the table we were sitting at had like the reservation card on it, and the people who had the reservation showed up 20 minutes early, and the
Yeah,
server was
true.
like, no, they're not finished yet. Like I
Yeah.
told them that they needed to be gone by 1:30, and it is not 1:30.
Exactly.
So that was awesome.
Yeah.
So
So
they
don't
like
show up
it
early
goes both ways. Yeah.
or
Yeah,
wait.
it goes both ways. But then we took a train to Pilsen, and we've already, we did an entire episode about the Luger course, but the first thing we did when we got to Pilsen was take a tour of Pilsner Urquell.
Of course.
And
You could
that was
actually walk
bad to the
straight
bone.
from the train station. They have a pathway
Yes.
straight from there, right to Pilsner Urquell. They are set up
Yes.
for that. That's not, you can't fly into that city. There's no airport. So you go to Prague, you take a train, and they're like, oh yeah, we that's actually the first thing. It literally is the first thing they had in that city was Pilsner Urquell.
Yes.
Like that city, it, oh man, I gotta bring up my notes about Pilsner Urquell. You ready to get into this? I feel like I have so
Let's do it.
many good notes
I
about Pilsner
feel
Urquell.
like, so for our listeners, I tried to float the idea of making this like a three-parter because there was so much to talk about Pilsner Urquell, and Rachel was like, I think that's kind of stretching it a little bit. So the second half of this episode is probably just going to be
Sure.
about Pilsner Urquell because it's so iconic, and it is. We talked about this when we were talking about our London trip last year, and like going to Fuller's and being in the cellars, and they're like, these were bomb shelters in World War
Yeah.
II. And so being in Pilsen and going to Pilsner Urquell and seeing, they have done a wonderful job of archiving their history
Oh, yeah.
and being able to see the stuff. And again, like going into the cellars to be like, these are the cellars.
Yeah.
This is
Like
what we've read about,
point
and we're
blank.
here.
There's even parts of the cellar that they had just closed off because it's just not worth to repair anymore. You know,
Right.
it's just like, well, we don't need it. Why repair it? Like now, so it's just kind of like that's how history works too. So you know, like more of that's going to keep happening, and maybe one day there won't be any sellers.
Right. Well, and you could also, we did not have the time to do this, but you can also take a tour of the Pilsen Underground because it's not just
Yeah.
Pilsner Urquell that has these cellars. It is the entire city
Yeah. Yeah.
has like cellars running and tunnels running underneath it.
And this city is so funny too, because this city was actually spared from any sort of war destruction. So, like, all the buildings are super original. The town square is the original town square. The old town hall building where they dumped the beer out in front of is still there. It was so cool. We took
Yeah.
a picture with us
I
there.
have yeah, I have so many pictures of that because yeah, so the if you're not familiar, I think most of our listeners probably are, but if you're not familiar, in Pilsen in the mid 1800s, all of the burghers got together. They were brewing a lot of the a lot of people had licenses to brew beer, but none of the beer was very good. So they all met in front of the town hall and destroyed all of these barrels of beer and decided as a group, we're going to make a city brewery. And this is going to be the place where we brew the beer. That's Pilsner Urquell, which is meaning original. And that's how Pilsner Urquell was founded. And they say they haven't changed the recipe since it was founded. And around that same time, as you know, we've talked about like in the Lagerbook episode, that was when bottom fermentation was really starting to take hold in Bavaria. And Pilsner Urquell hired Joseph Grohl, who was a German brewer, to come and brew. So he brought this bottom fermenting experience with him. And that's how Pilsner was born, was here at Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah.
Pilsner, the style that
Same
is now
recipe.
95% of the beer sold in the world. Well, I would say probably not exactly that, but that's where it started.
Yeah.
And that was so cool to just be there. And it's so funny too, because I have a video that I'm taking where we're standing in this city center, and I'm like taking a video, and I get like past, and I don't even know if you've seen this yet, Rachel, but I get past that city hall, and I can, you can hear you all talking next to me. And Andre, our trainer, was like, "Oh yeah, that's the city hall where they dump the beer." And all of a sudden in the video, it's like, "Jim, that's the building. That's the building. That's the city hall right there." And so my video, like I had like just gone past it, and I was like back to the building. And we were so excited about it. It was so cool. But that's how Pilsner Urquell was created. And they've got if you've probably seen a bottle with their logo with the gates on the front, and those are the gates.
Yeah, which didn't
They're
come
there.
until like 50 years after they established. So
Yeah, that's right.
they just kind of started building a brewery, and like their water tower was the at during the time was the
Gallows.
enter to the city. It's where it's like we're centered where the entrance were to the city was during the medieval tower or medieval time. So that same water tower, they don't use it for water anymore today, but their brewery was so large that, I mean, they started creating this basically. I think I'm a little bit confused because during the tour, I thought I was under the impression that this doesn't really make sense with the history of what came first, Pilsner Urquell or Town Hall. So I guess the little town square came first because people were brewing and then they decided to open Pilsner Urquell. In the tour, I guess it kind of made it sound for a second like they were like, we're going to, oh, we want to open a brewery. We're going to do it here because of the water and where we
Right.
were and stuff like that. Like, but it almost for a second sounded like Pilsner Urquell came first, the way it made it sound, because they built this thing so big, they had their own source of electricity when they started it. So this, like this, if you walk into Pilsner Urquell, it's got that big gate that you just mentioned now, but you walk in and it's almost like its own little town.
City. Yeah.
Yeah, like of the brewery and the packaging center and offices and the
Right.
souvenir shop and the malt house and the other packaging center, because they have two
Yeah,
brew
and
houses
we
and
just saw a portion of it, but it was big enough that on our tour they drove us on tour buses, like from place to place.
So this Pilsner Urquell used to operate. They had its own electricity source that it came up with and used to operate like that. I don't think it does anymore from what it sounded like, but the brewery is larger than Vatican City, from what the tour guy told
Yes.
us. Like, that's so crazy.
Right. And the other thing, before I forget, with this agreement that they made to establish Pilsner Urquell at the beginning of the tour, they have that actual agreement in like in a display case of, this is like, hear ye, here's us establishing Pilsner Urquell as the city brewery. And I have so many pictures of that obviously in the glassware. I have a lot of pictures of the special glassware they had being there. It was definitely, you still went through, beer has four ingredients. Here's malt. You can taste this malt if you want. Here's hops. You can taste the hops or, whatever. So that part was a little bit like, okay, yeah, we've been there before. Where they had like the floor malting, I was like, they have this thing lit up like a passion play. Like it is so dramatic. You walk into this dark room and there's like this light comes on, really slowly to like illuminate this one sign. And then it like, all the rest of the lights come out. So it's very like moody lighting kind of. And of course, like looking at the coppers never gets old. It's always like, I have
We got
so
to
many
see the old brew
pictures.
house and the new brew house.
Yes.
We did get to see like actual things happening.
Right,
And I didn't
right.
realize they malted their own barley all this time. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Another thing that was kind of cool was their cave area. They used that for main production and they used the ice caves and actual ice until 1993.
Yes.
90. The only reason they don't do it now is because of global warming and they can't get the big blocks of ice anymore.
Right. And but these
That
ice,
is
like,
crazy.
the ice caves were cavernous. Like they showed us
Massive.
one. We walked into one. And I mean, it's probably what, like three, four stories.
Yeah, at
And
least.
one of the things that was so cool is as you're walking through the cellars, there's little like drainage, little like drainage things in the
Like
floor.
pathways, kind of.
And yeah, and they weren't just there like for regular drainage, but they led from these ice caves As the ice melted, the water was redirected down these drains throughout the entire cellars to act as cooling. So it was kind of like air
Yeah.
conditioning. And that was when, when she said that, I was like, that is like
Like someone
such an
that long ago.
engineering
Yeah,
feat.
exactly.
Yeah, and like
Crazy.
it seems so obvious once once she says, yeah, like you can see these drains start here and run throughout the cellars, and that was to keep everything cool as the ice was melting. And it was like,
And the
yeah,
ice cave
that
had like a big hole at the top of it too, where like that's where they used to drop it in.
yes, it was very cool.
It was
And
mind
walking
blowing.
through the cellars, I guess kind of marrying my two interests of beer and torture, I did point out to Rachel and I are walking through the cellar, and I was like, it would be, you could really hunt humans for sport down here.
That's what
Like,
they do with
just,
the old brewmasters when they're done
yeah,
with them.
just let them loose and be like, okay, you get like a 10 second head start and you just run for your life. And you have all of these different little like tunnels that you can go down and hide in and stuff. Just an idea, Pilsner Kelm, if you're looking for a revenue
A Hunger
generating
Games.
idea, yeah, let people hunt other people for sport in your cellars.
Oh my
And
gosh.
we got to taste Pilsner Urquell straight off the barrel. We did get to see some of their open fermenters. We didn't get to taste any beer like off the open fermenter, but we did get it
But
out
out
of
of
the
a barrel,
tank.
yeah.
And I actually made notes because we've talked about this. Other people have talked about this. Pilsner Urquell, unfiltered, unpasteurized, is recognizable as what we're used to Pilsner Urquell tasting like, but it's also completely different, like it's just
Oh,
a
yeah.
different experience. And so, like, some of the notes I took of that were that I got a lot of like soap, lemon zest, lavender, a really firm bitterness. It seemed like the CO2 was higher than normal, and like a bread dough flavor. So it was, I don't know, to me, it was kind of like if I take away the diacetyl and then just some of like the aging notes that we're just used to in Pilsner Urquell here,
Yeah.
it did. It just tasted like extremely
Tasted
fresh
fresher. Yeah.
Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah. Which you just don't experience unless you go there because
Right.
you don't get that at home or here.
Right. Exactly.
So after all that, we saw the bottling plant. They had, like most big breweries do in Europe, they have a whole section for new bottles, that they have a whole section for recycled bottles because it is law there that you need to like be using the recycling bottles. So that was cool to see that bottling line rinse all the bottles. And we watched one guy down there, poor guy, working the line, and like one area gets jammed up and he don't really notice. So it causes us all this jam, and like this whole group of us are just up there watching him from below,
Right.
watching his whole shit fuck up. He
Yeah,
probably
it
hated
was
that.
very much the
We're like,
I Love
no.
Lucy
Yeah,
line,
exactly.
like was it licorice or was it chocolate?
It was like some chocolates, yeah. Like
Okay,
the
yeah, where all of a sudden it's starting to get really backed
frenzy.
up. But yeah, he had the additional benefit of, like Rachel said, like 15 people
Yeah,
standing above
exactly.
watching him try to like unstick this, and there's like bottles falling and breaking.
Felt so bad
And we're like bang 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 behind you.
for him.
We didn't do that,
We
but
didn't.
I was just like, this would be miserable if I showed up to work and they were like, hey, you're gonna be the guy cleaning up the broken glass, and also
Yeah.
there's a tour coming through. I'd be like, no, it's my break time, shut it down. We can do it when everybody is gone, because that just seems like it would be terrible to be doing that job. But yeah, it is really cool. And it was like this too when we went to Spaten, seeing like these massive bottling lines,
Yeah,
and it's
huge.
and like filling lines, and yeah, just everything they do to get it ready. And we were able to see like some cans getting filled, and yeah, it's just it's very loud.
Yeah.
And but it's so busy, and it's just amazing because Pilsner Urquell, that is where all of the Pilsner Urquell in the world comes from. They don't brew it
I
at
know,
multiple
yeah.
sites. Like
Yeah.
any Pilsner Urquell that you have ever had has come from the Pilsner Urquell brewery
Yeah.
in Pilsen. And that, like, so you think about that and just the scale of that, and being able to see like that the packaging area is, the size of several football fields.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It's crazy. Another cool thing that they still do is they will still deliver beer twice a week around the town in their horse and buggy.
Yes, with their dray horses.
Oh, I love it. And
And it's a
apparently,
family.
yeah, the lady who does it, her parrot did it, and their parrot did it as well. And I just think that's so cool. And I was like,
Yes.
we didn't get a chance to see it. They literally do it on Monday and Tuesdays, which was the 2 days we were not there.
Right.
But man, that would have been so cool to like be in town.
Right. Yeah. And just see these dray horses come by with the barrels of beer.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, obviously in Pilsen, almost every place you go, it's going to be Pilsner or Kel on tap.
Yeah. They ha There's other
And
stuff, but everyone always has Pilsner account.
right. But yeah, it's kind of like if you order a beer, you're going to get a Hladinka of Pilsner or Kel.
Yeah, exactly.
And like if you want something different, then you order something different. But if you just
Yeah.
go in and say, like, two
Two
beers,
beers.
that's what
That's
you're going to
yep.
get. Yeah. And most of the places we went to were tank pubs. So they have tanks rather than kegs. And what was really cool is they all had these little plaques next to their tank somewhere that tells you the date that they tapped that tank.
Yeah.
So when we were there, I think it was like the 10th, and one of the pubs we went to, they had tapped their Pilsner Urquell tank on the 6th. But it's is
And
prominently displayed.
that was like kind of the max, like 4 days.
Yes.
Like the goal was that you're always drinking fresh beer because it's unfiltered, unpasteurized, but they always had it on display, like somewhere near the bar, like this tank tapped on this day, so whatever the information was. And it was every single bar did that. It was really cool to see
Yes.
like that
Well, every
little.
single bar we went to, because
True,
that was
true.
something with our trainer. He was like, I'm taking you to places that
Yeah.
are iconic for one reason or another. And also I know that
Yeah.
they do proper service, proper tapping.
True. Not everybody does proper service.
Right. And so we got like the best of the best. Like we got the highlight
Oh,
reel
yeah.
of places in Pilsen, but like I love that idea. I understand how at Pilot, you probably don't want or need to have, hey, here's a sign on over each one of these beers when it was tapped.
Yeah.
But it's also like you're a craft brewery, so you have smaller volumes and stuff, and maybe move through some things faster than others. So I don't see that being something that would really catch
It's not the
on.
store. Yeah, it's just not the norm here. And honestly, I don't think people want to know here.
Yeah. Well,
Shit is
that's,
not
yeah.
rotating out like it did it over there in
Right.
that culture, you know?
Right. Exactly. But also, when you go into these places, like they have Pilsner Urquell on tap.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, they don't have 14 different beer
Oh, yeah,
styles.
that's another
It's, you
thing
have,
too.
you can get light and you can get dark.
Yeah.
And that's it. So
Which
they
makes it a
do
lot
move through
easier.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good point. There's not 14 options to choose from.
Right. And so, with their tanks, the way that they work is basically a bladder that they put on the inside. So it's a bag that they
True.
put into the tank and then fill that. So that's how you're, one, getting fresh beer, and you don't have a lot of downtime for cleaning because you don't, you're taking out the bag when it's empty and putting a new bag in. So you don't have to spend, a ton of time like cleaning the inside of the
And
vessel
that
or
makes a lot of
anything.
sense too, because where some of those takes are set up within the bar, it'd be a nightmare to have to clean
Right.
that. Like, so that bag of the system is I think it's pretty popular in Europe, a little bit more of a newer thing in the US.
Yes. Yeah. I worked at a brewery that had those. Yeah. So that's how they get it delivered. And then when it's done, you can just pull the bag out, put another bag in, and fill that. Which also means that you don't have to have as much like glycol cooling and,
Yeah.
just all of that going on. So there's definitely benefits to
Yeah.
having that. I have said that if I had a brewery, I would have serving tanks like that because you don't need cold storage. So that just kind of eliminates, but also, as we know, if I have a brewery, there will be no tap room because I'm not going to deal with people, and maybe a drive-through window. So when the beer is ready, you just order it, you come to the drive-through window, I hand it to you,
The
you go. We don't
hobby
talk.
brewery.
Yes,
Hobby brewery.
exactly. But if I had to have a tap room, because apparently you're supposed to have a tap room and deal with people if you want to own a business, I would have serving tanks, and I would have serving tanks specifically so I wouldn't need as much cold storage.
Highly recommend going. It is a small town, but there are lots to do. if you're into beer, I guess. It's a tricky lot of beer. Maybe not so.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really know. I didn't have time. We had a couple of days there, a couple of days at Prague, but most of our time there was with the class, so we're just doing beer things. So do I have a lot of good recommendations of other things? No, I don't. I have no idea at this point. I know beer.
Right. Did learn there when you're pouring, there's what's known as the Prague pour.
Yeah.
In Pilsen, they call it the Prague pour. So,
Yeah,
Rachel,
too much
explain what.
foam. Too much foam on your Heldaka, or maybe anything.
And that was really funny, just to learn that stuff. And we had talked about like the hard foam versus the wet foam, and he said this was something that like in the eastern part of the country they were doing like the hard foam, kind of the slow pour
Yeah.
foam. And so stuff like that was so interesting because it's like that little kinds of history that you don't that doesn't translate into like the larger literature about,
Yes,
about that
at
stuff and
least
kind of those
yet.
colloquialisms of like, oh, that's a Prague pour.
Yeah, that is funny.
But it definitely was. I mean, I think the Czech Republic is inexpensive, if particularly if you're based in the
Yeah.
US, in terms of the
Yes, if you're
cost.
based in the what's it called? Currency exchange rate is well in your favor if you're in the
Yes.
US.
Yeah, and it really is like I would definitely love to go back to Prague. Prague is also known as the Paris of the East. And there
See that?
what yeah, what was really interesting about Prague and even Pilsen to an extent was all of the like old like USSR architecture. And it just and I saw this when I was in Warsaw, Poland as well. The places that were behind the Iron Curtain have like this very distinct kind of architecture. And so it's cool to see that, even though it's like it's very drab looking, like by design,
Yeah.
but it's still cool to see that and be like, oh, that's right. This happened. And even, the Czech Republic in our lifetime used to be Czechoslovakia and is now the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And that has been, in the last like 30 years. And I remember being friends with somebody from the Czech Republic who, when he was like 13, it went from Czechoslovakia to the Czech Republic. And, the
Interesting.
Czech Republic is an independent country. So yeah, it's just really cool to go someplace like that. And it's one of those places that I don't know if like Prague and especially Pilsen would be very high on a list of someplace to travel to, but you will be so happy that you did.
Especially Prague. We need it. We need it way more time at Prague. Like, I highly recommend 5 days if you could do it.
Right.
There's so much to do. But then we finished our trip in Munich, and we didn't
Yeah.
do much. The last day there was mainly so we could get back to the airport. And we had just a day of doing whatever we kind of wanted. And we went to Schneider, we did our little typical tourist things in Germany that we like to do.
And in the Czech Republic, most people spoke English,
Oh,
which
yeah.
I know is very American obnoxious of us to go places and just assume people speak English, but like
But
even
they
in
do.
Pilsen,
Yeah.
people spoke
Oh,
English
yeah.
or they had an English menu, like they
Yeah.
had I think we only went to one like little tiny coffee shop where there was one person who was like, I can help you translate. But
Yeah.
you've got some things like Google Translate now has a camera, so you just open up Google Translate and point your camera at the menu
Yep.
and it translates it to English for you,
And
which
really,
is amazing.
anytime you're in a big city or a popular city, you're not going to have to worry about that. It's really when you travel to the small little towns
Right. But we
where
could
you might not.
definitely, even if we weren't in the lucre class, we could definitely have maneuvered around all of
Oh,
those
yeah.
places not
Easily.
speaking Czech.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
And that's always, again, like, I know it's an obnoxious American thing to expect everyone to speak English, but most places people do speak English.
Yeah.
And Czech Republic is one of those places. So don't let a language barrier be the
Like
reason why you don't go someplace. So yes, next year we're thinking about maybe a
cheese.
cheese-based trip rather than a beer-based
Cheese.
trip.
We'll still
So,
drink beer, but
oh
we're gonna
yeah. Yeah, but we're
still
looking at
seek it
maybe
out.
Switzerland, maybe Italy. Italy will be a little bit warmer than Switzerland.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we'll just
That's a good
like
point.
go to Brazil or something where some go someplace where it's summertime when we get there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was our trip for this
Yeah.
year. We appreciate you all kind of coming along on this trip with us and listening to other people talk about their great vacation. It's kind of like if we were like, you know what, today we're going to tell you about the dreams we had last night. And
Well, you
before
know
I get
what?
to that, you have to remember that I had lobster claws in this other dream. And then in this dream, Rachel had lobster claws. Although I will say, when we were in Prague, I did have a dream where I got Rachel's phone and cleared all of her push notifications. And it
That would
was
make you
so
very happy.
satisfying. It was so
If
satisfying.
you are a type of person where that bothers you on your phone, my phone would send you into a mini panic attack.
It does. It does. And I had a literal dream about getting
The
your phone.
only push notification I ever care about is my text. Everything else could just build up.
I hate it. So, thank you everyone for listening. We're always happy to provide, like, hey, here's where we stayed, here's our Airbnb. I've already offered that to a couple people I know who are going to Pilsen. Was like, hey, we had this great
Oh, it's
Airbnb
the
that
best
was
Airbnb.
literally down the block from
Yeah.
Lucre and was close to everything.
Close.
So yeah, if you're, if you're traveling someplace and you want our opinions about it, shoot us an email. You can reach us at falsebottomgirls@gmail.com. You can also get to us on social media. That's a weird thing, get to us. You can also find
Slide in our
us,
DMs.
yeah, on social media at False Bottom Girls, and you can visit our website, falsebottomgirls.com.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Rachel.
Thank you, Jed.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Nostra
Novice.
V.
Nostrovi? I don't remember. Do you remember?
Yes. Nostra V.
This has been False Bottom Girls,
And we make the Bruin world go round.